This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to 2023 here on my show, America Tonight. This is Kate Delaney. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for being a part of now what has been 16 years. We're going into 16 years here on this show. And 2023, what I love about saying that is for all of us, no matter what your situation is, to me, peeps, it's a blank page. Anything can happen, right? Keep a positive spirit. Just when you're down, just not to get on a soapbox and become a motivational speaker here at the beginning of the show, but as much as there's traumatic things that happen, the hills and the valleys and everything else, look, we're people. We all go through that. Speaking of hills and valleys, I felt the sorriest for a couple of people last year. When we look at the lowlights of 2022, the parents of the kids that were killed and the families of the others in the Uvalde mass killings, which was ridiculous. And the school, again, the sacred place that shouldn't have been harmed, that the kids shouldn't have been victims of that shooting, and the time in between that it took, and all of the details that emerged afterwards. And then at the tail end of the year, and there were things in between, of course, but at the tail end of the year, the University of Idaho students who were killed while they were sleeping, basically four of them, all four friends, all in this house together, and the boyfriend of one, so that made four, and then two others that were untouched. And now a suspect has been picked up. Friday, that was, of course, the very big news that there is a suspect in this, and he's been arrested, and he's going to be extradited from Pennsylvania to Idaho. Brian Christopher Coberger, who looked, I guess, a little bit shocked when he was picked up, a 28-year-old who went to school at Washington State, very close to this university where the kids were, and he's a criminology student. There's a lot of creepy, wild things about this story. He was a PhD student in Washington State's University's Department of Criminal Justice and Criminology. The school confirmed that. So 7 weeks after the victims were found stabbed to death in an off-campus home on November 13th, finally this has happened. They don't know the motive, or they haven't confirmed the motive yet publicly, or if he knew the victims. This killing, these deaths, rattled that college community of Moscow and, of course, in the town, etc. The murder weapon has not been located, but using DNA evidence, they honed in on him as a suspect through DNA evidence, and by confirming his ownership of that white Hyundai Elantra seen near the crime scene, that was the big break. He drove it cross-country with his father, apparently, who flew out to come home, bring him back home, and he arrived at his parents' house in Pennsylvania around Christmas. They started tracking him. They tracked him for 4 days before his arrest. They worked with prosecutors to develop enough probable cause to obtain that warrant. That's how all of that went down. We know some basic information, but there are creepy details that are emerging about things connected to him, his temperament, the way he, friends say he reacted with women, all kinds of details and people that are talking anonymously. But we'll see what comes this week. I think later this week we'll know more of the evidence that was gathered, but there has to be at least a little bit of relief, I would think, for those families. Just a terrible thing. We lost a pope and an icon in the broadcasting world. The pope was Pope Benedict, who died in the Vatican Monastery at the age of 95. He resigned as pope 10 years ago, and he had been living there, and they're going to have a funeral for him on Thursday in St. Peter's Square and in Vatican City at 9:30 a.m. The funeral is going to be led by Pope Francis. There was some controversy with this pope. He was powerful and polarizing, I would say. He was a force in the Catholic Church for decades. He was born in Germany. He was the son of a policeman. He was ordained as a priest in the 50s. He made cardinal and later served as chief theological advisor to Pope John Paul. The second. So one of the most significant steps is when he took over as head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith. That's the office that oversees the Doctrine of Faith and Morals throughout the Catholic world. And he became known as Cardinal No because he cracked down on all kinds of things. Religious pluralism, homosexuality, calls to ordain women, that kind of thing. So he was elected Pope in 2005. Barbara Walters, the voice for so many women, she was a glass ceiling breaker, let's face it, because she was dropped into a man's world. She was a pioneering TV journalist and became one of the most prominent figures in broadcasting. She has died at the age of 93. And they say she passed away peacefully in her home surrounded by loved ones. She began her career in the 60s, 61, as a reporter and writer. She was a member of NBC's Today Show before being promoted to co-host, part of a panel, then a co-host in 74. Then in 76, she joined ABC News as the first female anchor on the evening news program. And with Harry Reasoner, that ultimately didn't work out. She went on to launch specials on ABC, the Barbara Walters special, 10 Most Fascinating People, one of her biggest interviews, 74 million people tuned in to hear her talk to Monica Lewinsky at the height of the Bill Clinton scandals. And she was a correspondent for 2020 and just interviewed everybody and anyone in the 5+ decades that she was in the world of broadcasting. And she even launched The View, a daytime talk show with a diverse panel of women discussing headlines, and that became popular. But she had a lot of big guests with political figures and, of course, with celebrities and whatnot. She was parodied by Gilda Radner, who mocked her as Barbara Wawa because of the way she speaks. But she definitely was, again, a known figure, a very well-known figure in the world of broadcasting and just in the world in general. So it is 2023, and what can you expect this year on the show? All kinds of fun things. We're going to bring back the cheap movie reviews. In fact, have some interviews with people, etc., on some of the big movies that are out. Just one segment a week or every other week. And then we have a couple of other curveballs that I think you're going to like that we're going to serve up too as well, including the daily high five, recognizing things that people do across the country. Because I always say that this show is about what's happening in your backyard and mine, and I want to know what's happening in your backyard, and we're going to come up with ways to do that, or we have come up with ways to do that, and I'll reveal them in the next couple of weeks. Mega Millions, the jackpot. Did you buy a ticket the last time around? I got to tell you, I did. I had the Mega Ball. So, you know, that was, to me, $2. But that's okay. I could get a cup of coffee at Wawa. So, Mega Millions is going to be $785 million, the 6th highest jackpot in lottery history, 4th highest in Mega Millions history. No one matched all the winning balls. There were 2.7 million winning tickets in the drawing, so ranging from $2 like me to $1 million. But can you imagine $785 million? So that next drawing will be on Tuesday. Don't forget, we have nailed the score. It's the final week in the NFL. I'll pick the game of the week. You call in. You tell me who you think's going to win. You don't have to know anything about football and what you think the final score is going to be. Or you can send me your guess through the miracle of the internet at kate@katedelaneyradio.com. But that's on Tuesday. Stay tuned. More of some of the great moments from last year, and then we roll forward to 2023.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Welcome John Gibson onto the show. You know him. For decades, he was a television news reporter, a network news correspondent, a cable news anchor. I could go on and on and on. And a radio talk show host, too, as well. And we had him on before the book that he wrote, OJ's Knife. We talked about that. Now he's got a new one out, Death in the Reeds, a Mickey Judge mystery. And I just said to him before, he's in our virtual green room, before we pull him on, that, darn it, he pulled me in. I was on a flight from Florida to Texas and then had a little puddle jumper thing. And I read the whole thing. It pulled me in. Something about the way that John writes, and especially this story where you're connecting the dots in a couple of really interesting areas. So, John, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for reading it.
So I like that. Thanks for reading it. So we're talking about some really cool things, intriguing things in this one. You know, the Iraq War, an incredibly priceless antiquity that is ultimately stolen from the Iraq Museum. And, you know, we heard stories about things like this. So it's interesting. I like the way you, in a way, pull from things that we know, especially in this book. So how'd you set out to pick this one, right? This one, this theme.
Well, you know, when I was working for Fox, there's a guy named Bogdanos who is a U.S. attorney and a lieutenant colonel in the Marine Reserves, and he wrote a book called The Thieves of Baghdad about the looting of the Iraq Museum. And it was a fascinating book, and I interviewed him and talked to him at some length. And this one piece always fascinated me because there's one at the British Museum, and then there was one at the Iraq Museum, and that was it. There's two of them in the world. And one of them went missing, being looted, and as far as I know, still missing. And I just thought that this was a good premise to, you know, for fiction, for what happened. You know, just let's imagine what might have happened. And I plugged my character into it. Mickey Judge, the ne'er-do-well TV reporter, and some other characters. You know, after 50 years of interviewing people and running around being a reporter, you meet a lot of people, as you know, from what you're doing right now. And I didn't want any of them to go to waste, so I used a lot of the people that I knew or ran into to base characters on in this story. And, you know, it's just in my little story, there is a chase for this object. And the TV reporter guy gets involved, and he's trying to help a friend of his who is making the mistake of trying to deal in this antiquity, which, by the way, you know, if anybody actually did do this, you know, steal it and then try to sell it, it is hugely illegal, hugely illegal. And so my character, Mickey, is telling his friend, this beautiful TV anchor, you know, don't get involved in this. You could go to prison or worse. And, of course, she gets into worse in the story.
Yeah, and she, you know, as you say, Cass is her name, and she really does take it all the way to the limit, so to speak, to steal a line from a famous song. So give us a little meat of the story, and you have set it up, but give us a little more on Cass and how this whole thing happens.
Okay, so what happens is Mickey Judge works for a cable news network, which I have named the Empire News Network, and you can kind of guess who that might be. And he gets fired because he picks a fight with a vice president, and they blow him up, and he's now, you know, he's got to do something. And his agent sets him up with a job in his hometown, which is San Francisco. So he returns to San Francisco. And there, who, you know, been there all along is his, former almost girlfriend. I call him an almost girlfriend, who has now become a big TV star. And, she is married to, the, black female district attorney in a fake lesbian marriage. The black female, district attorney is a gay woman. Cass is not, but they're, you know, the stars of the city, this couple. They go to all the opening nights, and she's trying to find a way into the many millions of dollars that are being made in the Bay Area. And she just figures, well, now that she's going to all the best parties, she's going to meet somebody who's going to get her involved in something, you know, like a startup or a ground floor position and something like Apple or something to make a lot of money. Well, what actually happens is the brother of the guy who steals the thing in Iraq contacts her and says, you have billionaire friends, I have something they would want, so let's make a deal. And there's some twists and turns that go on in trying to get the object to San Francisco, because it's in Beirut, and then it's in Iraq, and then it crosses Syria, and then it's in Beirut, and then it's in Paris, and somebody's got to go get it, and the brother of the guy who stole it is the one who is sent off to get it. Now, then when it arrives in San Francisco, in hot pursuit is a sort of a, I guess I would call him a hitman or a killer, who is working for some Russians. And you have to imagine who they ultimately are working for in order to obtain this antiquity for his collection. You know, I mean, in my little story, all the missing art in the world ends up in Vladimir Putin's private collection. And so there's somebody chasing it who's a very dangerous fellow. And the principal way that he dispatches people is to pick them up and throw them off of high buildings. He doesn't like knives. He doesn't like guns. He doesn't like strangling. He likes just pitching somebody out of a window, mainly because unless somebody actually sees him There's no way to trace him for this killing. So he's busy killing people, and he's in hot pursuit of this, and he arrives in San Francisco as well. And now she's in big trouble because she's got it, and there is a killer who is after it. How much farther you want me to go?
You so we don't want to give all the details, but you really set this up nicely. I think you know how to tell a story. Like you said, you did it for many, many years, and you're doing it on the page now. Ultimately, and I guess this is probably a layup question, but for any writer, what do you hope people take away from hearing our conversation, getting your book, Death in the Reeds, a Mickey Judge mystery?
Oh, I hope they say, yeah, I got a plane flight coming up. And I could kill 2 or 3 hours or four, or I'm going someplace warm and sunny, and I'm going to sit on the beach. I could use an interesting read. It's not like War and Peace. It's not going to take you 5 days of reading. You know, it's I don't know, what did you do? Maybe 4 or 5 hours, and you had it done.
Yeah, it was less than four.
It's a good read. It's not terribly long. It's like mid 200 pages, and it moves quick. I don't belabor the reader with a lot of poetic descriptions of the fog pouring in over the top of the Golden Gate Bridge or any of that kind of thing. But I think I do. You know, I think that a good novel has a strong sense of place. I've always enjoyed Michael Connelly's books because he just makes L.A. come alive.
Yeah.
And what I was trying to do here is really make San Francisco visual. As you're reading this, you see San Francisco.
Yeah, and I think you absolutely accomplished that. Hey, we have like a minute and change left. What's next? I mean, you're going to do another Mickey Judge mystery, right?
Oh, yeah, there's number three is almost done, and I'm trying to figure out what number four will be. I only have so much time left on the planet, and what I'm trying to do is churn out one a year. So we'll see how many I get before, as King Charles said, before my time is up. But you can get this one. I just remind people it's probably hard to find in the bookstore, so go to Amazon.com. Death in the Reeds, and they'll have it to you in a day or so.
Excellent. John Gibson, always fun to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Kate, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. The family of the suspect in the University of Idaho stabbing murders is pledging to let the legal process unfold. In a statement released Sunday through a legal counsel, Brian Koberger's parents and sister say they're cooperating with law enforcement to promote Koberger's presumption of innocence. Koberger was arrested in Pennsylvania on Friday and is facing four counts of first-degree murder An extradition hearing is set for Tuesday. The 19-year-old man accused of attacking three NYPD cops with a machete near Times Square on New Year's Eve reportedly penned the manifesto that urged his family to repent to Allah and accept Islam. It's believed he may have become a radicalized Muslim in recent years following the death of his father in 2018, the New York Post reported. With the new year, minimum wage increases take effect in more than two dozen states, including in Washington State at $15.74, the highest in the country. Jerry Barnash, USA News.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I'm so lucky to be joined by Jeanette Parrott. She is in New Zealand. I want you to picture this for a second. You're in a really remote area and you're dairy farming. And you're a fifth generation dairy farmer. Personally, I think it's so, so cool. Her book, You Have Been Given a Gift, can really stretch in a lot of different directions, and she's got a fascinating story to tell. Jeanette, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you've been given a gift. What was the motivation behind wanting to write this book?
I guess it was to leave a trail of breadcrumbs, you might say, so that others could follow, so others could be inspired. It's, yeah, I think that's it in a nutshell.
And as I said at the top, you're a fifth generation dairy farmer, and you and I talked off the air, what was it that made you decide, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do the family business, so to speak. Was it just a love for the life? Was it curiosity? What was the reason behind wanting to do it?
I think it's lifestyle. I know when I went to school, biology was one of my favorite topics, but I never thought it would actually come to fruition, because I also liked writing. Like, English was another one of my favorite subjects, so I also enjoyed writing things. But I could never see myself in a desk in four walls. I could only see myself out in the fresh air, enjoying the animals, enjoying nature, admiring the trees and the birds. That was the only place for me. So it's a lifestyle more than making a fortune, but what's the value of money? This lifestyle is the best. It's the best.
I love that you have that passion, and you can tell you are absolutely authentic and you love doing what you do and being out there. What's a typical day like?
typical day, my daughter and I, we've been farming together for 20 odd years, cause husband didn't want to do any more on the farm. So for her and I, we'd get up about 5:30 in the morning and we'd jump on the four-wheel motorbike, go down the farm, get the girls into the shed to milk them. And that takes about 2.5 hours. We've got 180 cows and it takes about 2.5 hours to milk them, with the longest part being getting them to the shed and actually washing down after. And then we'd come home for breakfast about 8, 9 o'clock, depending on the time of the season. In springtime, we'd have to take the milk to the young calves and feed them and make sure they're all okay. And, okay, breakfast about 8 o'clock, and then we'd have a morning just to decide what we actually want to do. If there was a water pipe need fixing, if there was a sick cow that needs attending, even to put fertilizer on, we'd decide of a morning what we're going to do. On the farm, we actually, it's 7 days a week. So what we do over Monday to Friday, we may have to do Saturday or Sunday. It's not regimented by any particular day, more regimented by the weather and how the animals are of a particular time. So lunchtime, yeah, just the normal, or during the day we're catching up with odd jobs, and then back to get the cows about 4 o'clock, and again about another 2 hours in the shed, and then home for the night meal around 6, 6:30.
And you know, in your book, it's fascinating. You talk about the fact that for 40 years, you've really fed 6,000 men, women, and children. That has to make you feel, it kind of gave me goosebumps. That has to make you feel proud.
Yeah, and that's more or less every day. And it's not till I actually got to put that book together that I started thinking, my gosh, what am I doing here? And that was one of the, quite a proud moment when I worked out, you know, if everyone drank a liter of milk a day, that's how many we'd be feeding every day, which, yeah, you wouldn't drink a liter a day, but then it goes into yogurt, it goes into butter, even the cow itself goes into medicinal things. It's probably a lot more than that, but it's another way of satisfaction, I suppose you could say, because it's something you don't really think a lot about.
Yeah, to the title of your book, you've been given a gift. And one of the big gifts, you mentioned it briefly, is the fact that you're a mother-daughter team for the past 20 years, and the youngest of your four is the one that works with you. What's that been like?
Yeah, a very, very special relationship. We actually live in the same house. In fact, when she was leaving school around 15, 16 years old, she said, "Mum, I'm not leaving. I can't leave without my girls," which are the four-legged ones that are running around the paddock. And so she hasn't left. And now she's got a partner and there's two grandchildren. And again, we all live in the same house. So we're with each other 24/7. We do have our disagreements, but it's like a mistake. You sort of, okay, you learn from that and you move forward, but very few. And like I say, living and working together 24/7, it's pretty special.
It sounds special. And another thing that has happened on the farm is you've gone organic. And for people listening, what's it like to make a switch? Is it a lot of extra work? Is it different? What does it mean? What do you do to go organic?
It's very, very satisfying. It's a gift that we've all had, but we've all been shaped to add synthetic fertilizers, to add chemicals, to add antibiotics. And we've actually, as farmers, we have lost our own intuition to be able to be in contact with the land and contact with the animals. And it's a renewing of what we already had somewhere in our DNA. So it was challenging. And to go organic without the antibiotics, without all the props that have been thrown to farmers, it's, yeah, very challenging, and you've got to be willing to accept mistakes. You don't learn if you don't make a mistake. And yeah, we've made mistakes, but we've learnt from them and a lot stronger for it. So providing you actually get into a peer group or find somebody else that can help to guide, it helps a lot. But when I first started, way back in 2006, my daughter and I actually, there weren't a lot of places to go to find out how you actually treat an animal that might have woody tongue, other than giving them drugs or a cow with scours. How do you give them treatment for that? But now we've discovered what cow with scours, you give her some baking soda and molasses. And a cow with woody tongue, which is a lack of iodine, we actually give her kombucha. So we've discovered a lot of these little different ways of doing it by ourselves. So I guess you have to learn to, yeah, Google, and contact with people who have already been there, done that.
Does that make it interesting? Because that goes back to your roots of really liking biology.
Yeah, no, it makes it really interesting. And the only reason we came on about the kombucha for the woody tongue is because I had a very sore throat and I had some kombucha and bang, the sore throat went. And I thought, well, excuse me, I wonder if that would work for a cow who's got the woody tongue, because woody tongue is just a bacteria that's living in that part of the body. And sure enough, as long as we got it in the early days, it has worked.
Wow. I love that. I'm just picturing that you're there almost like a little scientist, mad scientist with your daughter thinking, this is it. We have the answer. When people read your book, You've Been Given a Gift, what do you hope they take away from reading it?
Inspiration, that we're not alone. And like I've actually mentioned in the book, I'm by no means the only one that's gone through the challenges like we have as a family and like I have. So we're not alone in this, and there is always someone around the corner who's worse off. But providing you don't give up, providing you've got that will to carry on, yeah, go for it.
Do you think now that maybe the grandchildren or one of the grandchildren will be interested in this as well?
Yeah, in a different way, because they're already like, oh, excuse me, I have got a frog in my throat. The children are homeschooled. They don't go through the main system. And to see them being amongst the animals and actually walking them to the cow shed is amazing.
I bet. So, I bet it's amazing to watch that, especially because as I started off and we discussed, fifth generation dairy farmer, and then to see that that's taken root too as well, and they're probably embracing the joy that they see with you and your daughter and the rest of your family, the great parts about being there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The little guy who's actually five now, he's got his pet. It's just a cow that's decided, okay, I'm going to be friends with you. And he calls her Poppy. And so at the moment, he's walking behind Poppy at the end of the herd going to the shed. He's in bare feet. And, Poppy just knows he's there and he pats her belly right beside her. And here's this big cow rising above this little five-year-old. It's amazing.
You know, and you talk about other uses for the milk, cheese, butter, yogurt, you know, leather is another one, too. And just the pure milking of 180 cows, how long does that take?
Not long. I think it's only about 40 to 50 minutes the actual cups are on the cows. The longest part is bringing them to the shed. And then cleaning up afterwards, it's just like doing the dishes. But it takes about half an hour, so, yeah.
My great takeaway from this is the cows are like the dishes. That's wonderful that you said that. When I'm doing the dishes, I'm going to think of you. Jeanette Perrette, you are just delightful, and this book is wonderful. You've Been Given a Gift. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's been a pleasure.
Georgia on my mind, Georgia, oh my Georgia, I saw you.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Poudyarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudyarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudyarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Escorted Away. We have Harry Josephson with us. Harry, this story is so powerful. Before we get into the details of the story, what was it that made you decide you were going to write this book?
Well, Kate, and I appreciate the question. It was a situation where I went through, 10 years or so of misery, learning what not to do with an addicted son. And it just, it was something I needed to put in writing for my own benefit. It was a good therapy for me, and I thought maybe along the way I can help some other parents in the same boat, that maybe they won't have to go through everything I did.
And as you said, a decade of hell. How did you first discover that your son had a problem, that something was going on?
Well, we received a letter from a neighbor that said he had sent an email to her son saying that he had been high 24/7 since eighth grade was over. And then we found marijuana growing in his closet, marijuana plants. So those things together really tipped us off.
So that happens, and what's your first instinct? What do you do? Because I'm sure there's so many parents that are listening to us and so many concerned adults around kids they care about. What do you do? What did you do?
Well, the first thing we did was search his room, take everything out of there, get rid of the plants. We found some pills. We got rid of the pills. there's an instinct initially that says if you eliminate all this stuff, somehow you're going to eliminate the problem, but that's not really true.
Yeah. And were you surprised by this? Because you had a good kid that was involved in doing things.
Yeah, I was extremely surprised. I think everybody believes that, you know, my child's not going to have this issue. And he did. And it got worse instead of better. And eventually I had him shipped off against his will to a disciplinary boarding school out in Iowa.
Yeah. And how hard was it to do that?
Extremely hard, because he stayed there for a year, and I believe to this day that he would not have gotten a high school education, or diploma, I should say, had I not done that. But he looked at me through the window and said, "I'm turning to an effing life of crime. You will never see me again."
Oh.
He was driving away. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, how tough is that? And, you know, you talk about a lot of things in this book that I think are so helpful to so many other people. You talk about the three C's. What are the three C's?
The three C's were something I learned in a Naranon meeting. And it's the three C's are you didn't cause it, you can't cure it, and you cannot control it. And if you look at the 12 steps, the very first one of the 12 steps says that, you know, essentially you're powerless over addiction as you're looking at it from a Naranon member's viewpoint. So that's a big thing that freed me to say I didn't cause this and I can't of my own volition cure it. And so I learned that unless he decided he wanted to get some help, there was very little I could do to make him get help.
Wow. And you know, then he gets the help. And what is life like today?
He still has some issues. I believe, as I look back at it these many years later, and he's been off heroin now, and we didn't even discuss the fact that he became addicted to heroin for,
wow,
for quite a few years, that he still has the same issues, anxiety, depression, things like that, that he had before. But he was using these substances to try to mask that or to deal with it. And that's something we learned, too, that is if you have, and most of these people have mental health issues, there's not much we can do about that either. I mean, we're powerless over that. They have to learn to live with their mental health issues, and he still has some, but at least he's not using hard drugs to mask them.
Yeah, and you know, and in the book you talk about, like you say, heroin was a big thing. So it's one thing to find weed in the closet and be shocked and find pills and all of that, but then heroin, and we see how deadly it is, and then immediately when you say the word heroin, that's exactly what you think, and how addictive it is and how tough that is. But some of the other things that you dealt with, and you talk about this in the book, Escorted Away, and we're speaking with Harry Josephson. You can pick it up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. The other thing that you talk about is you talk about jail, and you talk about back to jail, and you talk about back to jail, and, you know, 32 days in a different jail. Wow. That had to be tough, too.
It was very tough, but I got to a point where, with the help of some of the people in Naranon, it's like some of these things that we think are bad, are really bad or really terrible, are things that absolutely have to happen if somebody is going to get better. And so our Naranon leader says, I try not to judge things as good or bad, because the thing I think might be the most terrible thing may be the thing that helps them get clean. So you have to kind of let go of the things that you think are good or bad along the way. And he spent time in lots of rehabs, I'd say probably 8 or 9 different rehab trips and a couple stints in jail. And it just, a lot of things had to happen. So if I can give anybody advice along those lines, and we try not to give advice, but some observations that I learned was sometimes some bad things have to happen.
Yeah, and you have to let go of that, right? You have to let go of whatever the label is you think in your head and what's the worst of the worst to be able to get through yourself.
Oh, that's correct. I mean, and on my end, too, I had to go through some really bad things before I got it, you know, so to speak. So that's why I think it could be helpful to other parents to hear my experiences. And then when they have those experiences, they can say, yeah, I've heard about this before. I may have to go through some things before I decide to let go. And you really do have to let go, because you can't control the outcome. You can't cure this disease.
Yeah, you have to let go and then work around all that. And you mentioned so many times, and you have a chapter on it, about Naranon and how powerful that was for you. When you're in that group, is there people you can lean on? There's things that you hear, and you just said one of them to us that was something to really pay attention to, not judging good or bad, pulling that out of your mind. Was that the thing that sort of saved you a little bit?
It did largely. I was about ready to rip my hair out before I joined Naranon, and the ability to hear other people that have been through this before and have successfully and you know, the navigation of this type of thing is not an instantaneous cure for the parents either. It's a process, and you have to learn from experience. But when you hear other people who've been through it, you say, wow, that sounds so much like what I'm going through. It's not just me. And group therapy works that way, is you get to hear other people's experiences. And you're not alone. I guess that's the bottom line. You're not alone.
Yeah. And what do you hope, and you said it throughout this, what do you hope people take away? I mean, you've got conclusions in the book. You end with, what have I learned?
I think the biggest thing I learned was I can stand in the way of the things that have to happen for this person to get clean or for this person to get off drugs. And those are things like, you know, giving money, providing a place to go, a lawyer when you get charged with a crime, things like that. There's all kinds of things that I did. And I spent lots of money along the way learning these things before I figured out I was just giving him the resources to potentially kill himself.
Yeah, you were doing, though, what so many people would do, so many of us would do, because you just love them and you wanted to see this go away.
Right. As a parent, you think, I can help this go away. And our Naranon leader says, I've talked to many of people who have been through this and survived, asked them what it took to get them clean, and he said, I've never once heard him say, because of something my parents did for me.
Wow. Very, very telling. Well, the book is powerful. Pick it up, Escort It Away. Harry Josephson, thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Okay, Kate, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everybody.
Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.